In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Let's continue our commentaries on St. James Epistle, chapter 4. Do not speak evil of one another. Brethren, he who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. You know, the basics of all commandments is to love God and love people. Love God from all your heart, all your mind, all your power. Love people, love neighbors exactly as you love yourself. So when you speak evil about anyone, actually this means that you cannot love him, because you never speak evil about yourself. And also this is kind of judging others, because who knows what's behind whatever they do and what's in their heart. And maybe one day they have the chance to repent. Sometimes they are much more better than us in many other things. So judging others is kind of judging the law, because there is only one lawgiver and there is only one judge. So we are not allowed to judge each other. We all are sinners. We all, you know, will be judged. So judging others add to our sins and makes it more harder for us, because, you know, when you judge others, now you cannot love them and you fail to love people, and now you can never be man of God. Do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law. So we have like only two chances, two ways. One way is to do the law, to follow the law, to fulfill the commandments of the law, to focus on yourself how to be up to this law commandment, or to use the law to judge others. The first one is the way of saints, the other one of the way of all people, of the sinners. Because you fail to follow the law, now you are making use of the law to judge others. If you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you to judge another? So if you judge others, now you are taking the place of God himself. You consider yourself as God. And now also you are telling God and people, I'm the one who will judge you. So now you are just away from God's will. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? So he is telling us another commandment, that don't plan for your life, don't put the future as if you just the one who can control everything. You do not actually have the power to control the future or even the present moment. How can you put the plan without the permission of God? You should pray first. You should ask God first. You are never sure of your future. So come now, and you who say today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It's even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. So this is another example given by St. James, that our life on earth is kind of a vapor. Very quickly it will vanish away. So when you think that you will live long, that's a big lie. Don't trust the days. Don't think of the future as if you are dead sure that this future is yours. You can never know. So when you think of the future, please pray first. Put it in the hands of God first. Ask God to bless the days, to bless the plan. With his permission, you may do this or that. For what is your life? It's even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. So when you just use this word, God's will, you remind yourself before anyone that the will of God is before your will, higher than your will. And the plan of God is much wiser than your plan. So say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance. So people who speak the future in such a proud way, they arrogant, they feel that they are gods, they can do whatever they want. Actually, this is another big lie. All such boasting is evil. So to boast of the future, to boast of yourself, to boast of whatever you have in this world, it's, you know, simply kind of an evil action. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it's sin. So sin is not only to break the law or to, you know, do not submit yourself to the commandment of God. Just losing a good chance to do good thing, it's also a sin. Because some people, they used to say, we do not murder, we do not kill anyone, we do not, you know, do adultery, we are such good people. You know, what you have will cause you problems. And the garments you are happy with will be moth-eaten. And the silver of gold you feel powerful with will be against you one day. Not do it, to him it's sin. So now we know what to do. We have to open our eyes to see the chances available to us to serve people, to love people, to preach the word of God, to witness to the kingdom of heaven. We have many chances to be good as God's will. But most of the time we fail to do it. Come now, you rich. Now we're starting the last chapter. Come now, you rich, weep and howl for your misery that are coming upon you. So now he speaks to the rich people. I just telling you that on the third chapter he mentioned the idea of the problem of partiality. And he was telling us, consider the poor people are more rich in their faith and they are much closer to the kingdom of heaven than the rich people. Now he speaks again to the rich people. Come now, you rich, weep and howl for your misery that are coming upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver are corroded, and their corrosion will be a witness against you, and will eat your flesh like fire. So he speaks very harshly towards the rich people, because the rich people here were very much selfish. They tend to abuse the poor people, the weak ones, for their sake, for their richness. So he is attacking them with very spiritual, strong ideas, that he's saying, weep and howl for your miseries coming upon you. Because your riches will be corrupted, your garments are moth-eaten. The meaning of this, that St. James is telling everyone that whatever you keep for yourself as to feel more powerful and more rich, actually what you have will cause you problems. And the garments you are happy with will be moth-eaten. And the silver of gold you feel powerful with will be against you one day. Your gold and silver are corroded and their corrosion will be a witness against you, because it will witness that while seeing many people need this gold, you just kept them for yourself, and will eat your flesh like fire. You have heaped up treasure in the last days. Heaping up treasure, that's usually how the rich people think. Indeed, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, cry out. So the laborer, the poor people are crying out to God to save them from this, you know, rich people who abused the poor people. And the cries of the reapers have reached the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. So, as if God was listening to these cries of the laborers, the reapers, the poor ones, who crying continually, just save us. Please be just God and save us from their hands. So one day God will interfere. You have lived on the earth in pleasure and luxury. You have fattened your heart as in a day of slaughter. So when you are busy with yourself, you just think the way of heaping up your treasures on the, you know, shoulders of the poor one, the laborers. You are now an enemy of God, because God is the God of the poor. God is the Almighty, and He will judge you because of this. You have condemned, you have murdered the just. He does not resist you, because the poor people cannot stand against the rich ones. Usually they have no power to fight them back. So God is there, and God listened to their cries, and God will judge the rich for this. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. Now He speaks again to the people of the church, to the poor ones, to the faithful one. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. Because the Lord did not promise us with an easy life on earth. The Lord said that our life here on earth will be full of troubles. It's, you know, a narrow gate. It's not an easy way to heaven. But be patient. Stand strong in faith and hope. God is there. And He will reward all those who suffered in their life here with the faith and hope, waiting for His promises. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth. Again, St. James using his simple and nice examples. All farmers are doing their work, just waiting to see the fruits, to see the harvest. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it received the early and latter rain. So rain will come in the early days of farming, and also later on, with the last days before harvesting, there is also, we need rain again. The rain usually is the grace of God. God is there working with His people, and we need to pray our life. And we are always waiting for His mercy, for His gift, for His power to help us. Waiting patiently for it until it received the early and later rain. So God is rewarding His people in many ways. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Be patient and establish your hearts. Establish your heart meaning that you remind yourself with the promises of God. Pray strongly. Stay strong in hope. God is listening, God is there, God is just, and God also is love, and He loved the poor, and He told us to carry the cross after Him, so He is looking from above, seeing everything. For the coming of the Lord is at hand. So when I remind myself of the coming of the Lord, I have to be ready. I have to strive to catch the kingdom of heaven. But if I forget this day of judgment, I will live my life here as if it's a long one, as if I'm living forever. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. Put in mind that the judge is very near. He is just standing at the door. He's listening. He's watching over. So please, take care of whatever you say. Speak carefully, speak wisely. Don't just speak about people in this bad way. Don't grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Because he was attacking the rich people of their bad behavior and encouraging the poor laborers to just be patient, establish their hearts and wait for God's mercy, he is giving an example from the prophet's life. All prophets suffered a lot. Their life on earth were never easy life, were never a happy one. They suffered persecution, they suffered all kinds of, you know, hurts, but still they were the good men of God and they called the kingdom of heaven. So, my brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord. The example of Job, you know, one of the prophets, he suffered a lot. He lost everything for a while. He, you know, cried a lot. He was hurt. But with the end of the days, he became a great prophet. And now we are praying for the intercession of Job. And thousands of years now after his story, now he's in the paradise of heaven, having all the pleasures of the afterlife. That the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. So, with the end of the day, our Lord is merciful, compassionate, and he will reward you for this suffering. But above all, my brethren, do not swear, either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath. But let your yes be yes, and your no, no, lest you fall into judgment. You know, people tend to speak and, you know, they use usually some kind of oath to, you know, to prove that they are right and they are always honest. But for a good Christian, you need not to speak this way. Your yes is always yes, and your no is always no. You never say yes for something, maybe no, and you never say no for something, maybe yes. Be clear in mind, be strong in witnessing to God, and, you know, be sharp in your attitude. For the wrong thing, it's no, and for the right way, this is yes. And you need not to prove yourself making use of oath or just, you know, swearing. You need not this. If anyone among you suffering, let him pray. Again, if you can see, he started in the first chapter by the idea of suffering and trials and how one should count it joyful, because there is always virtues coming out. Humility, wisdom, prayer, patience, and lastly, the kingdom of heaven. So he is ending his letter again with the idea of suffering. If anyone among you suffering, let him pray. If anyone cheerful, let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick, let him call for the elders of the church. So he's stating many, you know, conditions. If you are suffering, just pray. Pray for the support of God, for the blessing of God, for the reward of suffering. Pray asking for wisdom, for patience, for his mercy. But if you are fine, just continue praying psalms. So in all conditions, you should be a prayer person. You should live the life of prayer. You pray in good times and bad times. You pray always thanking God and praising God and also crying out for whatever problem you have. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. Actually, the elders are the presbyteros, or the priests of the church, that's the Greek word. And let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. So the order of our church with the sacrament of anointing the sick, it's very early written in the book of James, chapter 5, and also written in the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 6. The apostle used to anoint the sick people, and this prayer with using the anointing of the sick actually may make miracles, and many of them may be healed according to the will of God. So, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. So, you know, with this prayer, with the prayer of the priest, using the ointment of the sick, God's power is there. That's a sacrament. So healing may be there. And if God's will is not towards healing, at least he will be given the forgiveness. And the gift of forgiveness is much more precious than the gift of healing. Because the physical healing is something related to our life here. But the spiritual forgiveness of our sins, actually, it works for our future kingdom of heaven. So, in any way, with this prayer, with this sacrament, you will be given the forgiveness of sins. Sometimes, the disease is related to the sin, because some people having a bad life, a sinful life, may end up having some sicknesses, kind of, you know, complication of their life, or even punishment from God anyway. But, you know, healing is not necessarily all the time, but forgiveness is very much necessary. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. So we pray also for faith, and we need faith while praying. And if he has committed sin, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses. In this paragraph, you can see at least three sacraments. Sacrament of priesthood, and sacrament of confession, and sacrament of anointing the sick. So, the sacraments were there in the first generation, and were given by the head of the church at that time, who is Saint James. Glory to God. Amen.